back in the book of Romans this morning. The book of Romans is a wonderful book. It's a book all about righteousness. I saw an outline a couple days ago, a preacher that gave an outline of the book of Romans. He says, you can outline it this way. The righteousness required by God. The righteousness revealed in Christ. The righteousness we receive by faith. The righteousness we realize when we walk in the Spirit. The righteousness rejected by the Jews, and the righteousness reproduced in the Christian. Of course, many of us have been saved by the Romans road. Romans 3:10, for there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And in Romans 10, 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And many of us came to know Christ going down that road. Wonderful book. Right in the middle of it, chapter 8, of course there's 16 chapters, so I guess you can't say it's right in the middle, but one of the middle chapters of Romans is Romans chapter 8. It starts with no condemnation. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And that chapter that starts with no condemnation ends with no separation. Romans 8:38, 39, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Wonderful, wonderful promise. A couple of weeks ago, some of you might have remembered, we were in Romans chapter 8, verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall we not with him also freely give us all things? And a couple of Sunday mornings ago, we talked about how do we know that God will keep His wonderful promises? How do we know that He'll do everything that He said? What's the proof? What's the earnest? And we pointed to this verse and said it's Calvary. Because if God could deliver up His own Son for us all, then He can keep every single promise that He makes. Now this morning, we're going to move down a couple of verses. Verse 34. Where it says, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Notice that verse starts with a question. I think, knowing Paul, it was a rhetorical question, but it's a question I think we need to just stop for a second and answer. Who is he that condemneth? And really, that question has a three-part answer. You see, who condemns us? First of all, we condemn ourselves and we condemn each other. Every single person wants the other person to pay the price of sin. Every single person wants the other person that's done wrong to be judged. I mean, we want people that have broken the law, we want people that are evil to be punished. I mean, David talked about it in the Psalms over and over as he looked at evil people all around him and he said, God, why don't you punish them? It seems to me that the good people are paying the price, but all these people that are ignoring you, why don't you punish them? And I don't think our character has changed since that day. In fact, I saw it in real life this morning as I was driving to church. The roads were a little wet and I was a little late, but I was still going close to the speed limit, and some turkey cut right in front of me and almost drove me off the side of the road. Now, I wanted him to be caught. I said, where are the police when you need them? Most of the time, I don't want them anywhere around. But this morning, I said, where are the police when you need them? I wanted them to catch that guy, give him a ticket, take him to jail, and throw away the key. I mean, I wanted him condemned. I wanted him punished. I condemn people that get drunk and get in a car and kill other people. I want them to be punished. I condemn people that take advantage of children. I know I'm a Christian. I know I'm supposed to have the forgiveness of Christ. And I tell you what, I have very little patience and very little mercy for people that abuse children. I think they ought to be punished. I think they ought to be punished with the full extent of the law. We condemn each other. I think if we could see each other as God sees us, every single one of us would condemn ourselves and other people, because we could see as God sees us. But not only do we condemn each other, the devil condemns us. The Bible says that he's the great accuser. In the book of Revelations, it says that he stands day and night before the throne of God accusing us. I was reading the book of Job last night. Familiar story there in chapter 2 of where Satan comes before God. And God says, hey, have you considered my servant Job? There's nobody like him in all the earth. He's a perfect and upright man. And Job says, yeah, because you've blessed him so much. Take away all that stuff that you've given him and then see what he does. And God says, well, go ahead. Let's see. You know the story. Took away all his wealth, his cattle and his sheep and his camels. He took away his 10 children. And the Bible says that God, or that Job still did not curse God. Job still remained true. Another day came when Satan was walking before God, and God said, hey, did you see what happened to Job? I let you take away all his wealth. You took away his children. He's still upright. He's still perfect. He's still a good man. And Satan said, yeah, but let me touch his body. Let me take his health away, and he will curse you. And God said, well, go ahead, just don't kill him. And Satan took Job's health, ended up sitting in the garbage heap where the fires of the burning garbage would offer some comfort to the great boils that he had all over his body. Took a piece of broken pottery and was scraping those sores. And the Bible says, in all of that, Job did not turn against God. He stayed true. But Satan does that to all of us. He goes before the throne of God and he accuses us to God. So who is he that condemneth? We do. Satan does. God does. In John chapter 3, verse 18, the Bible says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now again, Paul asked the question, who is it he that condemneth? And he didn't answer it. I mean, I gave you how I would answer it. We condemn each other. Satan condemns us. Even God himself, if we're outside of Christ, condemns us. But Paul's asking the question. He says, who is he that condemneth? And it's a rhetorical question, because in the rest of the verse, Paul gives us some things, and in so doing says this, it doesn't matter who condemns us. It doesn't matter if we condemn each other. It doesn't matter if Satan condemns us. It doesn't matter even if God condemns us, because I'm going to give you the answer. I'm going to give you the solution. I'm going to give you the cure or the remedy to the condemnation. I don't care who it comes from man, from Satan, from God. I'm going to give you the remedy for any condemnation that comes your way. And the remedy is a three-part remedy. Number one, Jesus died. It is Christ that died. Let me remind you, and some people, I've talked to a lot of people that went to see this movie, and I've asked the question over and over, did it tell why he died? I know his death was a brutal death. I know he suffered for us. But does the message get out? Why did Jesus die? The message needs to get out. Jesus died for our sins. That's why he went to the cross. That's why he was crucified. That's why he was beaten. That's why he was whipped. He was paying the price for my sins and your sins. You see, we're all sinners. We all stand under that penalty, that wages of sin, which is death. And Jesus, when he died, he paid the price for that sin. That was God's plan all along. I mean, before he created the earth, it was God's plan that his Son would die for our sins. That's why in the book of Revelations, chapter 13, verse 8, that he is called the Lamb of God, which was slain before the foundation of the world. Before God laid the foundation for this earth, before He made this earth and everything that's in it, it was already in His mind that we were going to sin and that there would be a payment for that sin, and that payment would be the life of His only begotten Son. That's why John the Baptist, when he introduced Him in John chapter 1, said, as he looked at Jesus and pointed at Jesus, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." That's why Paul said earlier in Romans chapter 5, For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, while we were in our sin, while we were condemned by God, while there was nothing good about us that would deserve somebody dying for us, we were not. I mean, that verse says, "For scarcely for a righteous man." If we look at ourselves, we'd all have to say, "I'm not righteous." Peradventure for a good man, "I'm not good. I wasn't righteous. I wasn't good. But praise God, Jesus died for me when I was a sinner." His death is what paid the price of my sin. Hebrews, it says, "Without the shedding of blood is no remission of sin." Paul follows in Romans chapter 8, verse 9, a little bit earlier. "Much more then, being not justified by His blood, we shall be saved." Wait a minute. Let me turn back reading my Bible. Wait a minute. Okay, I'm getting lost. What? It's one of those days, Gabe. "Much more then, being justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath, condemnation through Him." His death is what saved us from condemnation. Who is He that condemns us? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's man. It doesn't matter if it's Satan. It doesn't matter if it's God. Because Paul says, here's the remedy. Jesus died. He died. But there's a second part to the remedy. Number 2 is risen. "It is Christ that dieth, yea, rather, that is risen again." The death of a Savior does nobody any good if that Savior stays dead. All these religions that have a Savior that lie in a grave this morning, a God that they worship, who yes, died, but who is still in the grave and their body is rotting in that grave. I mean, that kind of Savior is no good. You go back and you can go to the grave of Allah. You can go to the grave of Buddha. Go to the grave of all those gods, of all those gods that people worship. Dig up the grave. You'll find there the rotting body of a dead God. I'm glad I don't have a God like that. I'm glad that I serve a risen Savior. Yes, the death in the grave held Him for 3 days and 3 nights. That's what God wanted done. But after that 3 days and 3 nights, they couldn't hold Him. Up from the grave He arose with a mighty triumph over His foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and He lives forever with His saints to reign. That's why Paul could say in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" I mean, it could not hold my Savior. It could not hold your Savior. It was just not the death of Jesus Christ that saves us from condemnation. It is His death and His resurrection. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, "For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins." If there's no resurrection, if Christ is not raised, then we're still in our sins. We're still condemned. Paul says it again another way, Romans chapter 5, verse 10. "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life." Who is he that condemneth? Doesn't matter if it's man, doesn't matter if it's Satan, doesn't matter if it's God. Paul says, I'm going to give you the remedy. The remedy is that the Son of God went to Calvary and died. The remedy is that he stayed in the grave for 3 days and three nights and rose again. And the remedy, the third part of it, is that he intercedes. It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is ever at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. We do not have that. The throne of God. God sitting on that throne. Satan has not been cast from heaven yet. There's a verse of Revelation that said, hey, we're going to celebrate when the accuser is cast out. He hasn't been cast out. He's still there. And Satan comes before God. And we'll pick on Dave this morning. We'll let Clint be God. Satan comes before God. He says, did you see what he did this week? Did you see the sorry mess of things that he made this week? He was after those girls because he was going to have to train them again. He had a bad attitude and an unkind spirit. And he said some things that he shouldn't have said. And he thought about some things that he shouldn't have thought about. What a wicked, sorry mess, God, that you have for one of your children. And by the way, Satan can not only say that about David, he can say that about him. He can say that about every single person. We look at ourselves and we puff out our chest and say, hey, I've been out of that. We compare to other people. How you think compared to the Lord Jesus Christ? You measure up yourself against him. How is your weakness? If we were honest with ourselves, we'd see us the same way that God sees us, the same way that Satan sees us before God the Father. Sorry mess. He's like a prostitute. Stands before the judge. Tries to make a case. Get us to the end. But we have a lawyer in heaven. We have a defender. We have an intercessor. He gets up from the chair that he's sitting in and approaches the bench. And he says this. Good morning, Father. I like it when my lawyer has a personal relationship with the judge. Good morning, Father. I will concede that everything the prosecutor, old Satan here, said is true. Old David did have a terrible week. And he thought about some things that he shouldn't have thought about. He said some things that he shouldn't have said. He had some bad attitudes. I will concede, Father, everything that Satan said about this old sorry soul. By the way, I say that about all of us. Everything that Satan pulls up and dishes out does about us. And I love Jesus. Father, all those things are under the blood. All those things are I paid for when I went to Calvary. Sing that song, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. All precious and full that makes us. But together, white as snow. No other fault I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Sure, Satan, go ahead and try to condemn us. And try to remind the Father of all the sorry things that we've done in the past. Go ahead, friends and neighbors. Go ahead, add your condemnation to Satan. I'll tell you something. And the remedy is that God. He's risen. He intercedes this morning. Now let me ask you this morning. If you see that condemnment, are you condemned? You're condemned if you're apart from Christ. You're condemned if you never received him. You're still trying to live in your own righteousness. You're still trying to do it all on your own. You stand condemned before God. Doesn't matter what Satan says about you. Doesn't matter what we say about each other. If you stand condemned before God, the Bible says, stand placed. And you don't need that. We read that verse from John chapter 3. He that believeth not is condemned already. But he that believeth in him is not condemned, but hath everlasting life.
to see the differences in believing in Jesus Christ. We believe that he did die. We believe that he did rise. We believe that he does set aside the right hand of God this morning. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We've done that. A simple cure of condemnation. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you've never done that, we invite you to do it this morning. Right now, we're going to, in just a second, we're going to stand, we're going to have an invitation song, we're going to invite everybody that doesn't know Jesus to come down the aisle. Somebody's going to take the Bible and show you from the Bible what it is to ask Christ. You're here this morning, you're already Christian, and you rejoice. I'm not condemned. There's no man that can condemn me, because I can trust you. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Wonderful reminder this morning of why we're not condemned. Thank you, dear Jesus, that you did die. You did come back alive after those 3 days and 3 nights of death. You have a position this morning at the right hand of the Father. Pray for every single person here that doesn't know the joy of possessing that. They don't know what it is to have their sins forgiven. They don't know what it is to have a home in heaven. Pray for the Holy Spirit that right now you would speak to them, you would convict them, you would lead them, to make that decision. And for others that are here, maybe somebody needs to come for baptism, maybe for church membership. Maybe they just need to spend a moment there with all of you. Thank you. Just watch the invitation. Use it as you see fit. In Christ's name.